science, learning, business, community, you. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another edition of ThinkWorks, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week, I want to talk about the thorny subject of time, what it is, how we traverse it, and what the possibilities for any kind of future time travel may be. And it's based, really, this episode on a talk that I do called Time is Nature's Way of Stopping Everything from Happening at Once. Discuss. That's the title. This isn't 100% that talk, but it is the basis, and we'll cover the subject as best we can using some of the prompts from that talk. But I'm also going to, I mean, the talk itself is very visual, and there's lots of graphics and timely, no pun intended, examples of how the different theories of time and timelines and everything else come together. Can't really do that in a podcast, but we'll talk about the subject material itself in a little bit more detail. What we do know, of course, about time is that it's fascinated us for centuries anyway, and the concept of travelling through time has captured the imagination of us for hundreds and hundreds of years. The thought of being able to move to the past or to the future and experience different levels of time are all there in any literature that you care to mention. There is an example somewhere of a thought experiment or of a story or of a novel or of a paper, scientific paper, that considers how we could possibly transport ourselves through time. Now, the first place to start, I think, is how we think about the nature of time. What is it? How is it? And I think that's where we'll go first. It's a fundamental aspect of everything that we know about our existence. It's intrigued philosophers and scientists and thinkers for centuries. And it's got this multifaceted nature to it that it just means that we can't really look at it purely from a philosophical or purely from a scientific perspective. We have to look at it as a linear progression or a dimension and a subjective experience. And we have to consider the possibility that time is something that is mutable and that we can move across it in different directions. So let's go back to the main thinking then. So if we consider time to be a linear progression, there's a philosophical progression. So in philosophy, time is often viewed as a linear progression of events that flow from the past through the present and into the future. This linear model of time suggests that fixed, unidirectional arrow of time where events unfold sequentially and irreversibly. The scientific perspective on time as a linear progression is, if you look at physics, time is considered a fundamental dimension that, along with space, forms the fabric of space-time. The concept of time as a linear progression is central to classical mechanics and also, crucially, relativity theories, where time's arrow is associated with entropy and the increase of entropy, and also the idea of causality. In other words, cause always precedes effect. So if we consider time to be a fourth dimension, so you've got up, down, left, right, forward, backwards, and then time as that extra dimension. In philosophical terms, these treat time really as a dimension akin to space. It suggests that past, present and future coexist simultaneously, and this view challenges the linear progression of time and proposes a timeless reality where all moments exist congruently, and by every moment of time exists side by side. So it's therefore possible in theory to be able to move across these moments of time and go to the past or to the future. The scientific perspective, if you look at time as a dimension, is that time is indeed treated as a fourth dimension within the framework of space-time. Einstein's theory of general relativity, which unified space and time into a four-dimensional continuum, shows that events are located in both space coordinates and a time coordinate, emphasizing the interconnected nature, therefore, of space-time. We can also look at time as a subjective experience, and the philosophical perspective of this is, if you look at from a subjective standpoint, time is experienced uniquely by individuals, influenced by perception and memory and consciousness. The subjective experience of time can vary based on emotional states, attention, cultural factors, and all this leads to the relativity of temporal perception. How many times have we thought, you know, when things are, you know, time seems to drag, we use these terms, we say that time seems to go so slowly when you're kind of waiting for something that you're not really looking forward to, or when you're really lost in the moment and you're excited and you're in some kind of activity that you're really enjoying, and then suddenly it's like the hour's up or the 4 hours are up, and it's like, where did the day go? And so, you know, we experience time differently from that perspective. The scientific perspective of that says that psychological studies on time perception reveal that our subjective experience of time is indeed malleable and context dependent. Factors such as attention focus, emotional arousal, and novelty can alter our perception of time, and that highlights the dynamic and subjective nature of the temporal experience from a subjective point of view. So time, if you look at those three different areas and the philosophical and scientific perspectives of each, time then is an intricate interplay of philosophical inquiry and scientific exploration. Whichever way you want to look at it, you have to look at it from both perspectives. And it remains a captivating enigma that transcends conventional understanding. Whether viewed as a linear progression, a dimension, or a subjective experience, time continues to intrigue and inspire us to contemplate the mysteries of existence, consciousness, the nature of reality itself. Now, there are two giants of modern scientific endeavor that have really added the spice to the melting pot about time, and these are Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein. So Stephen Hawking's view of time and time travel were really influenced by his work on black holes and the theory of relativity, which is Einstein's theory, of course. Hawking's proposed that time is not absolute but is entwined with space to form a four-dimensional structure known as space-time. Hawking also explored the concept of wormholes, which are the hypothetical tunnels through space-time that could potentially allow time travel. Einstein's idea, on the other hand, were revolutionary with his theory of relativity, in which he proposed that time is relative and can be affected by gravity and motion. His theory of special relativity introduced the concept of time dilation, where time can appear to pass differently for observers in different frames of reference. So while both Hawking and Einstein looked at the complexities of time and space, their approaches and scientific theories did in fact differ. Hawking's work focused more on these quantum aspects of time and the possibility of time travel through wormholes, while Einstein's theories laid the foundation for our understanding of space-time and the relativity of time itself. So let's look at Einstein's theory of relativity and its impact on our thinking about time in more detail. Special relativity was introduced in 1905 by Einstein, and that posits that the laws of physics are the same for all observers in uniform motion. If you're traveling at the same speed in the same direction, you will perceive an act that happens in a moment of time at the same time. The perspective would be the same. It basically describes how time, space and mass are relative and interconnected, leading, in fact, to phenomena like time dilation and length contraction at high speeds. So, for example, if you got on the Concorde when it was still flying and you flew at supersonic speeds, time for you would actually pass a little bit slower than the person that you left behind in London. It's infinitesimal, but there is a difference. General relativity, which was formulated in 1915 by Einstein, extended special relativity to include gravity. And this describes how massive objects curve space-time, influencing the motion of objects and the flow of time. General relativity predicts phenomena like gravitational time dilation and the bending of light around massive objects. And again, if you have two atomic clocks set to exactly the same nanosecond of time, and one of you stays behind at base camp on Everest and one of you climbs to the top of Everest, so in other words you are a little bit further away from the mass that generates gravity of the Earth, then time would appear to be moving at a slightly different pace. The clocks, when they came back, when you came back from the peak of Everest, would actually be slightly different from the guy that was left behind at base camp. So then time dilation and relativity of simultaneity, these are outcomes of relativity. So time dilation, according to special relativity, occurs when an observer in motion experiences time passing more slowly relative to a stationary observer. This effect becomes significant at speeds approaching the speed of light, challenging the notion of a universal absolute time. In effect, the time in Alpha Centauri will not be exactly the same time as here on Earth if you had two astronauts who were in those particular places. Relativity of simultaneity is, this suggests that events that appear simultaneous to one observer may not be simultaneous to another observer in relative motion. The concept challenges the idea of a universal now and underscores, in fact, the subjective nature of temporal experience. A person on a train observing someone shooting at a balloon, for example, may see the balloon pop a little bit differently from someone who's not in motion at all, standing in a field watching the person shooting the bullet at the balloon. The pop will not be at the exact same time for those observers. So this challenges our intuitive understanding of time. Einstein's theories basically challenged the understanding of time as a fixed universal quantity. These concepts, time dilation and the relativity of simultaneity, reveal that time is not absolute, but is actually, it's dynamic. It's got a relative nature to the phenomena, which can be influenced by motion, gravity, and crucially, the observer's frame of reference. These ideas fundamentally altered our perception of time as a constant linear progression, and it also, I think, invites us to reconsider the nature of temporal reality and the interconnectedness of space and time. So it might not be space-time, there may be actually a difference between space and time as a dimension. Now, I guess the one thought experiment that everyone has heard of is the grandfather paradox and time travel conundrums. So it's a classic thought experiment in which you travel through time and you go back in time and you, by whatever means, you prevent your grandfather from meeting your grandmother, and that therefore presents your own birth. This creates a paradox. If the time traveler was never born, how could they travel back in time to alter the past in the first place? And the grandfather paradox then, it highlights the logical inconsistency of changing the past in a way that contradicts one's own existence. If it questions the possibility of altering events in a manner that would prevent the time traveler from initiating the change, which leads to a self-referential loop. So the consequences of altering a timeline, if you look at it from the point of view of the grandfather paradox, challenge the principle of causality, which means that changing the past can create this causal loop where events influence their own outcomes, leading to logical contradictions. Now, these contradictions could create, for example, alternate timelines. So some theories propose that altering the past could create branching timelines or parallel universe where each action spawns a new reality. This concept allows for changes to occur without erasing the time traveler's original timeline. In other words, if you go back and kill your grandfather, as an example, you would return to a timeline where your grandfather wasn't killed and you therefore you still existed, but another timeline would have been created where your grandfather didn't exist and therefore neither would you. The butterfly effect is the idea that small changes in the past can have significant unforeseen consequences in the future, and that underscores the complexity of altering historical events and the potential ripple effects on the timeline. So you go back in time to the age of the dinosaurs and you accidentally step on a small mammal, destroying that mammal, but that mammal might have had the genetic gene that would allow a species of rodent, for example, survive the cataclysm that destroyed about 80% of life on Earth, i.e. when the asteroid hit the Earth or wherever it was and caused the supervolcanoes to go off and erased the dinosaurs. It killed all the dinosaurs, but it also killed a lot of other life. If you've killed the one creature that might have spawned the mutation that allowed the small mammals to escape the mass extinction, then humanity couldn't develop, couldn't spawn from this genetic pool, because it would have been eradicated by you going back in time and stepping on that one particular rodent. Now, Stephen Hawking's view on the grandfather paradox were in line with the general consensus among physicists that time travel to the past is either unlikely or even impossible. The grandfather paradox is therefore a thought experiment that, through exploring the implication of traveling back in time and potentially altering events in a way that would contradict one's own existence, it basically shows that there must be something in the law of physics that prevents such paradoxes from occurring. And Hawking proposed the idea of the chronology protection conjecture. This conjecture implies that the laws of physics somehow prevent time loops or changes to the past that would lead to paradoxes like the grandfather paradox. While the concept of time travel is fascinating to explore theoretically, Hawking's perspective, along with many other physicists, is that the laws of nature likely impose constraints that will prevent such paradoxes from actually happening in reality. In other words, if you went back in time to kill Hitler, something would prevent you from killing Hitler. You would accidentally shoot someone who stood in the way, someone who was going to be assassinated already in history, and Hitler would survive, and so on. So it's that kind of thinking that you cannot alter time. Something would prevent you from being able to do so. Having said that, that's not stopped physicists and philosophers from looking at possible ways that we might be able to travel through time. So you've got wormholes are the prime example of this, and these are hypothetical tunnels in space-time that could potentially connect two distant points in the universe or even different universes. The structures are often depicted as shortcuts through space-time, allowing for faster-than-light space travel or even therefore time travel. The scientific basis for wormholes comes from the equations of general relativity, which suggests that such structures could exist under certain conditions. However, the stability and traversability of wormholes remain theoretical and have not been observed or proven to exist. If wormholes were to exist and be stable, they could revolutionise our understanding of space-time and open up possibilities for interstellar travel and exploration. But there's also a really good thought experiment that actually shows wormholes could help you travel through time. So if, let's say, we create a very stable wormhole and we attach one end of the wormhole here on Earth, we attach the other end of the wormhole to a spaceship that can travel at 99.999% the speed of light, and we send it on a parabolic arc good years into the future. Now, 100 years for the spaceship would be, I can't remember the exact figure, but let's just pluck a figure from the air and say that because of, we know that time is relative, therefore people left on Earth, the 100 years on the spaceship would be the equivalent of 10,000 years here on the Earth. The wormhole would still be linked, and therefore it would have an automatic link between the Earth of 10,000 years in the future and the Earth of 100 years from now. And that is where you can suddenly see the possibility of instantaneous time travel. The two eras are linked by the stable wormhole. I know it fries my brain thinking about it as well, but theoretically all this is possible because of relativity. We've also got the possibility of closed time-like curves called CTCs. And these are paths in space-time that loop back on themselves, allowing for closed loops in time. These curves are often associated with time travel scenarios where an object or person could return to an earlier point in time, potentially creating paradox like the grandfather paradox. And therefore, CTCs as a concept raise questions about causality and the nature of time itself. While they're mathematically allowed in certain solutions of general relativity, their physical plausibility and the potential for paradoxes have led many physicists to question whether they could ever exist in any universal context in reality. But then you've got the multiverse theory, and this is something that quantum mechanics is becoming, because of the way that quantum mechanics are interpreted with the many worlds interpretation. This proposes the existence of multiple universes, each with their own set of physical laws and properties. The theory therefore suggests that our universe is just one of many parallel universes that exist simultaneously. The scientific basis for the multiverse theory comes from theories like inflationary cosmology and also string theory, crucially, which posit the existence of multiple universes beyond our own observable universe. The implications of the multiverse theory are profound because it challenges our understanding of the cosmos, raising questions about the nature of reality, consciousness, and the fundamental constraints of reality and nature. So in conclusion, concepts like wormholes and closed time-like curves and the multiverse theory all push our understanding of the universe and challenge conventional notions of both space-time and reality as we understand it. But while these ideas remain theoretical and speculative, they inspire scientific exploration and philosophical contemplation about the nature of existence and the mystery of the cosmos. And in fact, you know, and this is where the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics comes into effect. And it's something we're going to talk about, you know, I think, in more detail, expanding upon what we've already discussed in both what we did last week with the idea of biocentrism and the interpretation, therefore, of a phasing from one reality to the next. because the act of observation affects the outcome of what you are observing. If we look at all that, there are some massive, massive implications, and we will do a more detailed look at the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics in a future ThinkWorks. But already we're starting to see the thread that's starting to loop through ideas like biocentrism, quantum mechanics, relativity, and everything else that we've considered in terms of the nature of reality and consciousness. But there's one thing that we need to properly discuss in this particular episode, and that's the idea of the arrow of time. Now, we've talked about all the woo-woo possibilities around the nature of reality and quantum mechanics and relativity, and how it does lead to the idea that there are gateways that we may be able to exploit to travel through time. But our personal experience of time, our subjective experience of time as a person, as an individual, is always that the arrow of time seems to be moving in one direction and one direction only, and that is forwards, i.e. we age. We experience this in our everyday life. The directional flow of time is therefore a fundamental aspect of our existence and shapes our understanding of cause and effect, memory, and the unfolding of events. And the arrow of time is closely tied to the concept of entropy and the second law of thermodynamics. So if you look at the idea of the thermodynamic arrow of time, this is associated with the increase of entropy in the universe. Now, entropy is a measure of disorder or randomness in the system. And what we do know about entropy is everything descends to a most likely degraded state. So in the if you have a load of rocks or a load of marbles and you try to put them into a pile, the marbles will start to descend and fall and roll off each other, and eventually all of them will reach a level where they can't go any further. That's the idea that decay and degrading of all material with the forward arrow of time is therefore the most common outcome that we experience. The second law of thermodynamics, therefore, states that the total entropy of a closed system tends to increase over time. So this increase in entropy leads to the irreversibility of natural processes and gives rise to the thermodynamic arrow of time. As entropy increases, systems move from ordered states to disordered states. And this reflects the asymmetry of time's arrow and the context of thermodynamics. And the thought experiment that I give in the talk that I do is basically, if you imagine a robot that goes on a rampage and it's something's gone wrong with its wiring, and it goes on a rampage in a china shop and it smashes all the china and everything falls on the ground, but gradually the battery of the robot runs out and therefore it stops. Now, if you reverse time, how can an empty battery recharge? So would the robot suddenly start recharging and moving backwards? And how do all the broken pieces leap off the ground and become a whole again? It's the idea that entropy says that once you've discharged energy, the energy is gone. And reversing time wouldn't actually help with any kind of machine that needed energy to move or to perform its task. So it's that kind of thinking. I know it's all mind-bending stuff, and it's just fascinating, I think, to look at different theories about time travel in relation to the laws of physics as we understand them. That said, the arrow of time does have profound philosophical implications for our understanding of causality, free will, the nature of reality. The directionality of time raises questions about the possibility of time travel and the implication of changing the past or influencing the future. Time travel scenarios often involve paradoxes like the grandfather paradox, And these challenge our intuitions about causality and the consistency of the timeline. The hour of time suggests that time may be inherently asymmetrical, with a fixed direction from past to future, which could pose constraints on the feasibility of time travel and the potential for altering the course of events. Now, overall, the hour of time is the central concept in physics, philosophy, and cosmology that shape our understanding of the nature of time and the universe. The thermodynamic hour of time, associated with entropy, highlights the reversibility of natural processes, while the philosophical implications of time's arrow raise profound questions about causality, determinism, and the limits of human agency in a universe governed by a flow of time from past to the future. And we can look at all kinds of different experiments, thought experiments, I should say, in this area. Now, my talk goes through all kinds of examples using movies and classic TV episodes, which show how they interpret different interpretations of the possibility of time travel and the causes of a potential breach in the fabric of space-time and so on. And we look at the competing theories of branching timelines, multiple universes, and so on. But I want to discuss those in more detail in future episodes of ThinkWorks, where we look at the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics, and we look at relativity and how that has the speed of light as a limiting constraint in the universe that we experience, and therefore how it might be possible for time to be changed by the act of the relative observation of events. We've also got black holes to consider and how laws of physics break down beyond the event horizon of a black hole, and so on. So all these things all tie into this idea that what we perceive of ourselves as time moving in one steady beat at a time and always forward may not actually be what the rest of the universe is undergoing. It's just our experience that makes time look like it's time that we understood. So I hope that's fried your brains. It's one of the things that I love talking about. The talk that I do is, as I say, it's got lots of charts and dynamic pictures and fantastic scenarios that we go through, and all designed to get people engaged in asking questions. And that's what I want ThinkWorks to do as well. So as always, I will close with, please come and join me in the forum. There's always a corresponding post that goes with every single episode of ThinkWorks that we do. So if you go to darreninform.com/ThinkWorks forum, you'll find a post that is dedicated to this particular episode. Come and share your own ideas about what time is, how it might be possible to travel through time, and what your favourite time travel episode of anything, or what your favourite time travel movie might be, and how you think that that might be how time really behaves. I would love to be engaged in that kind of conversation with you. So come and join me there. In the meantime, everyone, please keep asking questions, and I'll see you next week for another episode of ThinkWorks. Take care, everyone, and above all, ask those questions.
Would like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips, and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.